Okay, I'm going to quickly recap what we did last time. We are talking about the writing of the Mishnah by Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi. And last time we talked about the prohibition of writing Torah Sheba'al Peh. So we said that there are actually two schools of thought. One school of thought, based on the Gemara and Gittin and Rashi's Girs of the Gemara and Gittin, is that there was an absolute prohibition to write Torah Sheba'al Peh. Anything that was given orally at Har Sinai had to be kept unwritten in its oral form, transmitted from father to son, rabbi to student, until it was permitted with Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi, which we'll talk about today. That was one school of thought. And the Girs in the Gemara then is Dvarim Sheba'al Peh, I'ata rashai likotfan. Anything that was given orally at Har Sinai to Moshe Rabbeinu, I'ata rashai likotfan. You're not permitted to write it down. On the other hand, we saw in the Rambam and others that they were of the view that there was never a prohibition to write down Torah Sheba'al Peh. The prohibition was how it was transmitted. Throughout the generations, everyone was able to write for themselves, keep it, refer to it. But when Torah Sheba'al Peh was taught, it had to be transmitted orally, but not from a text. And if you look at the Gemara and Gittin, it says, Dvarim Sheba'al Peh, Iyata Rashai Le'omran Bichtav. Anything that was given, transmitted orally to Moshe Rabbeinu, could not be taught. Le'omran could not be taught from a text. Rather, it had to be transmitted orally. So that is a very wide divide between the two. We also talked about various reasons for the prohibition of writing or codifying a Mishnah, a text of Torah Sheba'al Peh. And there were various reasons, just to recap a few of them. One was that Tosfos says that Torah Sheba'al Peh should be special for Klal Yisrael. It shouldn't be open for all the world to come and access to it. Everyone in the world can access Torah Shebichtav because it's in a book. Torah Sheba'al Peh should be transmitted orally. It's special for Klal Yisrael and not for the non-Jews. Another reason that we brought down is that because it requires a Rebbe to teach that. You can't just open up a book, go and get the art scroll off the shelf and learn the Gemara and Chulin. You need a Rebbe, and therefore it would be taught more accurately. So that was another reason we brought. And a third of the seven reasons that we brought down was that Torah Sheba'al Peh, by definition, cannot be written down because it's unlimited. And writing it down would be limiting the Torah Sheba'al Peh. At the end of last time, we talked about the importance of having a based in Elyon, having the Supreme Court, which is called the Sanhedrin, Moshe Rabbeinu Sanhedrin, Parshas Baaloscha, to take Shivim Zakenim, Yizgnei Yisrael, to take 70 Zakenim, establish the Sanhedrin on Gadol, Parshas Yisro. Yisro says, you know, this isn't going to work, that you're judging every case. You need to set up a court system that will work for you and Klal Yisro, so it's not too onerous for everyone. And from that time onward, and we will see when it ended, there was a proper structure and properly functioning court system to adjudicate any problems, any issues that were between people, like on a Dine Mamonas area, if there were debates between people, disagreements, controversies, or get a psak halach. Is this chicken kosher? Can I use this liver? Can I eat it? Whatever it may be, you would go to the Beis Din, and they would give you a psak if they knew it, and if not, we'll talk about a little bit later the appeals process that they went to. So right now we've talked about what was the prohibition, what were the reasons for the prohibition, and this concept of setting up the Sanhedrin. That Sanhedrin existed from Moshe Rabbeinu all the way through the destruction of the Bayis Rishon. We had a lull there between the 70 years. We weren't there, weren't functioning quite as well, but comes back Bayis Sheni, Ezra, Sofer, at the beginning of Bayis Sheni, reestablishes the Sanhedrin in what was called the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. How many members were on the Anshei Knesset HaGdola? 120. Why 120? So we explained last time, because everyone appropriate, if you numbered them up, was 120. Put everyone on. There's no debate. 120. And then it widowed down as people passed away. It came back down to Shivim Ve'achad, back down to 71. And that was the functioning Sanhedrin that existed until the time of the destruction of the Second Temple, and even thereafter for a while. Now, why that it was very important is because we had two things. We had a structure now for deciding disagreements, questions that Klal Yisrael had, and we also had a method of deciding, which was based on the pasuk Acharei Rabbi Mahatos, that majority decision governs. So that was the process, and that process worked well. And today, We will talk about in Yirat Hashem what happened when things started breaking down. An important result of that is that when we look in the Gemara, we don't have references to earlier poskim gedolim that existed throughout Bayis Rishon and much of Bayis Sheni, because there was no machlokas. There was a decision of the Beis Din Agadol. They made the decision. We don't have to record that Rabbi Shimon's and this, Rabbi Yochanan's this, or whatever the names were at that time. We don't even have a record of it, because there was a psak, and once there was a psak by a Beis Din, the Beis Din Agadol, the Sanhedrin, that became the halacha, and it became included in the Torah Shebaal Peh. Question.
You think the 120 was also related to, like, Moshe lived 120 years? You think it was
the best explanation, like, I saw was that 120 was the number that included everyone, that it was on the level to be included, so we won't have any dissent. And that worked. Okay, so today what we're going to talk about is Rebbe, codification of the Mishnah. Who was Rebbe, and what happened, what changed, that we went from having an oral law to having a written Mishnah. And next time, Amir Tzashem, we will talk about more what technically did Rebbe do, and is a codification of the Mishnah, what's the Sifra, the Tosefta, and the next step in the writing was the Gemara. So why were there two steps? It was the Mishnah and then the writing down of the Talmud. So just a little bit quick biographical on Rebbe. Rebbe is Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi. He was called Yehuda, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, the prince. He was a prince. That was an official capacity, one of the Nesim. His name, Rebbe Yehuda Hanasi, was also called Rabbeinu HaKadosh, and he was also simply called Rebbe. That's the statue. Like Moshe Rabbeinu is Moshe Rebbe. That's the statue of that individual. So those were his names. He was the codifier, editor of the Mishnah, the Gemara, Yavama, Samachdal, Ramabe, says, Asalos, Michtei, Matnisin, Man, Takin, who established, who instituted the Mishnah. The Gemara answers, Rebbe. Simply put, it was Rebbe. The Chazal tell us an unbelievable statement, just to know the status of Rebbe, how an unbelievable individual he was. He was a descendant, by the way, of Hillel. Mimei Moshe, from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, Va'ad Rebbe. Until Rebbe, all of those years, Lo Ra'inu Torah Ugdula B'Makom Echad, we did not see anyone as great in Torah and greatness of personality in Midos until Rebbe. If you can imagine that, from Moshe Rabbeinu to Rebbe, there was no one of that stature. He was a tremendous Talmud Chacham. He was an unbelievable Anav, a modest person. He was a great teacher of Torah. He was accepted by Al Klal Yisrael. He was a very wealthy man. He had all of the milah. So what did he do? I'm going to give a nutshell what he did, and then we're going to go back historically. So Ba'asav Kol HaKabbalos Vashmos, he and his Beis Din went and they collected everything that was learned prior to his time. Rebbe, by the way, lived between the years of approximately 135 after the Common Era and 217 after the Common Era. So we were talking about, he was born approximately 65 years after the destruction of the Second Temple. So the Rambam in his Akhtama Mishnah says as follows, he collected all the Kabbalas, Ashmuas, the Machlokis, the Shenemru, Mimos, Moshe Rabbeinu, Ba'ad Yamav. From Moshe Rabbeinu until his day, he collected everything that was learned, and he was in the direct Mesorah, which we'll see as it came chain by chain, person by person, as recorded in Pirkei Avos. Okay, so when it comes to what caused this major change, before Rebbe, we had a prohibition either to write the Torah Shebaal Peh, or a prohibition of teaching the Torah Shebaal Peh from a text, and in Rebbe's time, everything changed. So we're going to go through four different causes that happened, and it's going to be interesting. We're going to see it's chronological, like a little bit dominoes. What happened that changed things that before Rebbe, we couldn't write Torah Shebaal Peh, and Rebbe came and he wrote and he codified, edited the Mishnah. So number one goes as follows. First Mishnah in Pirkei Avos gives us the chain of the Mesorah, the transition of Torah Shebaal Peh. How does it go? Moshe Kibel, help me out here. Torah mi Sinai, Umasra le Yeshua, Yeshua le Zkenim, Teshivim Zkenim, Zkenim le Levim, Levim Masrua le Anshei Knesset Hagdola. When was the Anshei Knesset Hagdola? At the beginning of the Bayis Sheni. Jump to the second Mishnah. This is the next recipient of the Mishnah. Who received the Torah Shebaal Peh from the Anshei Knesset Gedola? One of its members was Shimon HaTzadik served as the Kohen Gadol for 40 years. After Shimon HaTzadik was
Antigonus
Ish Socho. Antigonus Ish Socho was the next recipient after Shimon HaTzadik. So we went to Anshei Knesset Gdola, Ezra, including Ezra, established by Ezra, Nehemiah. Part of that is Shimon HaTzadik. Next after him, a student of Shimon HaTzadik was Antigonus Ish Socho. Antigonus Ish Socho didn't see the original Anshei Knesset Gdola. He was did not have a direct connection to the Nevi'im who were on the Anshei Knesset HaGdola. He was the transition. Shimon HaTzadik was the transition between the Nevi'im and the Chachamim of the Mishnah and the Talmud. That's the transition here. So we get to Antigonus Ish Socho, third Mishnah, second generation after the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, didn't have access to Nevi'im, didn't know the Nevi'im, and the Mishnah says as follows, third Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Antigonus Ish Socho kibel mishimon HaTzadik. That's the chain of the Masorah. And what was the limud that Pirkei Avos says from Antigonus Ish Socho as follows? Huaya Omer, Al tiyu kavadim asham shimesarav amanas lekabel pras. Don't be one of those who is an eved who serves his master in order to get a reward. Which master are we talking about?
Hashem.
Don't worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu to get a reward. Rather, Ella, hevu kavadim amasham shimesarav shalom amanas lekabel pras. But rather, you should worship a Kodesh Baruch Hu to not get a pras. To not. Don't do it for reward. What does this Mishnah mean? Worship Hashem.
L'shem
Shamayim. Don't do it because I'm going to get something out of it. That's what it's saying. Now, there were two students that Antigonus Ish Socho had that didn't understand his teaching. Their names were Tzadok and Baitos. Tzadok and Baitos said, what's our Rebbe saying? Our Rebbe saying that there's no schar. When you worship God, there's no Olam Haba, there's no schar, there's nothing to get. So why bother? They didn't understand what their Rebbe was teaching us. So they said, we're breaking away. If there's nothing to look forward to, there's no Olam Haba, there's no schar on the Olam Haba, why bother? And what they did was they broke away and started their own sects of Judaism. And their sects of Judaism were called the, after them, Tzadok, where the Stukim, and Baitos were called the Baitosim. And that's what their names were. These were the sects. And their belief was, we don't believe in the Torah, but what the Rambam in his Be'ashon Mishnayos says is they would have gotten rid of everything. But if they got rid of the Torah Shibichsav, no one would have followed them. That would have gone a little bit overboard. So what they did was they said, we don't believe in the Masorah. We're not following the Masorah. We're going to keep the Torah Shibichsav and we'll give our own Masorah to it. And that was the Stukim and Baitosim. And the Rambam says that was actually the precursor to the what was called later the Karaites. The Karaites was the belief in Torah Shebichsav, not the Torah Shebaalpeh. And then the Rambam has an unbelievable statement. He says as follows, Behem asher heichelu lahatil dofi b'kabbalah. This was the first frontal attack against the Masorah of Klal Yisrael. This was Tzadok and Baitos, the third generation after, second generation, third generation of the Anshei Knesset HaGdola, that they said, we're doing away with the Masorah. Now, I spoke with Rav Zulman Schwartzman about this, and he says that it wasn't a happenstance that this happened in the first generation that didn't see the Nevi'im. And we see from this that there's such a high responsibility right after the Nevi'im, after that Tkufa, after that era, that we have to make sure to teach students on a level that they understand what we're saying, because these students didn't understand Tzadok and Baitos, and they went and they attacked the entire Masorah. Okay, so that is reason number one. Leading to Rebbe writing down the Mishnah was Tzadok and Baitos attacking the Torah Shebaal Peh. If we have quick questions?
Yeah. Did they get a lot of followers from the Jews?
They had some. They did, and we'll see. We'll get back to it in a little bit. Very important. It had a major impact on the Sanhedrin.
I had a quick question. I guess, why would they just, it sounds like from what you're saying that they just got up and left as soon as they heard the statement, like, I mean, wasn't their teacher on such a high level that he could have explained it to them properly? And they probably knew the Torah better than us. How could they just get up and leave? I don't understand why.
It's like something like this. I don't know, but I will guess that sometimes people are more looking for an excuse as opposed to it's a reason. And an excuse like, oh, I want to find an excuse to go off the derech as opposed to, oh, I have a real reason. There's a nice word on it. If we have time, I'll get to it. Okay, so let's keep on going. Cause number two, and this is probably the more famous of causes, the Gemara in Sanhedrin, Peches Amud Bey says as follows, Tanya Amar Rabbi Yossi, Mitchila lo hayu marbi machlokas b'Yisrael. Initially there was no machlokas in Klal Yisrael. Why not? Because we had a system of Batei Din. We had a Beis Din that was 3. We had a Batei Din in various places that was 23. Then we had two Bat Edin around Harabais that was 23, and then we had the Sanhedrin Agadol. And if you went to your Beis Din and they didn't know the answer, you went to the next city. If they didn't know the answer, you went up to Yerushalayim, you went to one of the 23 Bat Edin. They didn't know the answer, you went to the second of 23. They didn't know the answer, you went to the Sanhedrin Agadol, and you got a response. And this worked beautifully, this system, until the Gemara says as follows. And just, how did it work? If you went to the Sanhedrin Agadol, Nishala Sheila Bifneim, they were asked the question, Im Shamu Amalam, if they knew from the Masorah, if there was a decision, they were familiar with the response off the bat, they said, this is the response. If they didn't know, they had to take a vote. Vimlav Om Dim Laminyan, Rabu Matami Tamu. If they had a Rav that said it's Tame, it's a problem, whatever it is, they went by majority rule. That was a decision. The majority said it's okay, they went by majority. Then the Gemara and Sanhedrin, Peches Amabes continues, Misha Rabu Talmide Shammai Vehilo. Shalasham Shu Kol Tzarchan, when Talmide Shammai and Hillel grew and became numerous, and they didn't Mishamish, they didn't learn as was necessary from the Rabbanim. This is subject to debate what exactly that means. Rabu Machlokis Bisrael. This is what caused a lot of Machlokis in Klal Yisrael. We'll see in a little bit when this happened. The Nasis Torah Kishtesh Torahs. And the Torah was made into two Torahs. It was Beis Shammai's Torah and Beis Hillel's Torah. And they disagreed on many things. Now, Lemaisa, it happens to be that Shammai and Hillel, if we talk about Shammai and Hillel, the individuals, we're not talking about Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, the yeshivas. Shammai and Hillel lived approximately 100 years before the destruction of the Bais Sheni. Hillel and Shammai, you can tell me how many times did they debate? There were three. Three debates, and then the Orach Lener points out it's actually four, because throughout the Bais Sheni, almost all throughout the Bais Sheni, the way the governance worked is what was called the Zugos. The Zugos means the pairs, the way it was governed. After Antigonus Yisocho, what was, instead of having one person running the Sanhedrin Agadol, running Klal Yisrael politically, we had a division of powers between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din. And because of that, because the Zugos, it went on for five generations. Because of that, when there was a debate between the Nasi and the Av Beis Din, it led to a stalemate. Now, many say that there was only one debate that wasn't decided on at that time, that the Nasi held one way. We talked about it last time, whether there's smicha on Yom Tif, whether korbanos, smicha on the korban on Yom Tif. We're not going to get into it right now. One machlokas all the way till Shammai and Hillel. Shammai and Hillel were the fifth pair of the Zugos. The fifth and last of the Zugos was Shammai and Hillel. The Meiri, on the other hand, he's of the view that there was more machlokas. Not a lot of machlokas between the Zugos, but not a lot. Comes Hillel and Shammai. They have three debates. The Gemara in Shabbos says there were three machlokot between Hillel and Shammai. In addition, the Orach Laner says to the debate whether you do smicha leaning on the korban on Yom Tov or not. Not a lot, right? Not a lot. And came the house of Shammai and the house of Hillel, their students, that's when machlokas took off. That's when there was a lot of machlokas at the time. Now the Maharshah, he recaps this, and it says, so far we see that there are actually two major causes that we'll be leading to of the writing of the Mishnah by Rebbe. Number one was Baitos, Tzadok, the two of them, caused the Tzdukim of Baitosim. That was a Machlokish Lo L'Shem Shemayim. They had something out. They attacked the Masorah, not for the proper purposes. On the other hand, when it came to Shammai and Hillel, Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, that was a Machlokish L'Shem Shemayim. They happened to disagree on certain things for various reasons we'll get into. But at least it was L'Shem Shemayim. And that's a very important point. Now, another important point was, who was more? Beis Shammai or Beis Hillel?
More
people. Who had more people? Beis Hillel had more. What was the problem? What was the advantage that Beis Shammai had over Beis Hillel? Harifei Tfei. They were sharper. So Beis Hillel was of the view, even though you're the majority, but we're better learners. So they said, you know, this majority rules. That's the psak when everyone's on the even playing field. But we're not on an even playing field because we're better Talmidei Chachamim than you. So it was like oil and water. It was like oil and water at the time. Okay, so let's keep on going. So what we have here is that the Meiri says, as the chain of the Masorah went, Ba'acharav Shimon HaTzadik, Higiyaz Man Antigonus Yisocho. Right? We had Shimon HaTzadik, then we had Antigonus Yisocho, came afterward. There was no Machlokas at the time. When the structure of the Meiri went to having the Zugos, that's when we got a little bit a little bit problematic because the structure was so you have two people, that you have two people governing the Sanhedrin. Now the Me'iri on Sanhedrin continues, it says, when things really got difficult, was ba'afla achar churban hayu noagim chayin, even after churban beis hamikdash, the Sanhedrin and the Beis Din system for some while stayed intact. The Gemara Rosh Hashanah says that the Sanhedrin was actually exiled. They first exiled themselves from the Lishka Sagazis, where they sat on the Har HaBayis, and they went out, and there were 10 exiles of the Sanhedrin over the ensuing decades. But the Sanhedrin stayed in place. But the problem was, even after the destruction, Ayonoagim Cheba Makam Shoyabate Dinim, L'sham Ad Shirabu Talmidei Baishamayim Beis Hillel. The problem was, we had Bate Din, but we had this debate between Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and as long as we had that debate going between the two camps, it caused a negative impact on the entire Beis Din system. Here, Ryan.
Hillel, who was more and who was smarter?
Beis Hillel was more, Beis Shammai was smarter. Harif Eitfei.
So how can they even argue if they're smarter? Like, why would they... How can they be machlokes if they're on a different level?
Well, Beis Hillel said we're smart enough and we're more. Acharei Rabin Lahatos. But they tried, as we'll see in a little bit, they tried various mechanisms to vote, and the voting broke down. The question is, why did voting break down then? Right?
These are yeshivas.
These are the yeshiva of Shammai and the Beis Shiva of Beis Hillel. It started during their lives, and it continued even after Shammai and Hillel passed away. Now, an important question is, if we have a Sanhedrin, and we have a Beis Din system, and Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel started during the lives of Shammai and Hillel that lived 100 years before the destruction of the Second Temple, how was it that voting broke down? If you have a Sanhedrin, take a vote, Acharei Rabin Lahatos, go by the majority rule. So there's a Sefer Mavole, the Mishnah, that asks this question. He said what happened was as follows. There was a stalemate. Let me say it this way. Lahavdil Elef Abdullah, in Eretz Yisrael, we have a coalition government. Do they have that in England? It's like coalitions? Anyone else know any countries that have a coalition? The United States is not a coalition. It doesn't work. The way it works in Israel is that there's a coalition. 120 members in the Knesset are voted for, and whichever party, there are a lot of parties, and you vote for a party, and a party that's elected, like for example, Netanyahu won the last election, but he didn't get a majority. He didn't get 61 in his party. He got, I forget, like 29, 30, whatever it is, memberships in the Knesset. So how does he control the government now? Because he has to partner together with other parties. So you partner together with this party that has 10 seats, and this party, and you have to kludge together what? A majority. 61 people, so you have a majority and control of the Knesset. Now, till now, until the machlokas of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, it was just a vote. And you vote, Acharei Lahavdil Lahatos, 70 members, 71 members, and you go by the majority. What happened now, we've gone through the cause number one. We have Tzadok and Baitos attacking the Masorah. We have the breakdown of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel and the machlokas. The Mavol Mishnah says, V'nira sha'otos man ayu yoshvin v'sanhedrin gamat tzukim v'geruraim. The Tzukim were also, somebody asked, were there a lot of them? The Tzukim were able, because there were a good amount of Tzukim, they were able to enter also the Sanhedrin somehow. And they got effectively a membership in the Sanhedrin. I don't know exactly how many seats that they had in the Sanhedrin. I don't know is the answer. He doesn't say, but it could be like people would pretend to be tzaddikim. Their discussions, like the Gemara talks about, if somebody was saying the bracha Gemara brachas v'lemal shinim al tisikva, right? Gemara brachas, they said, and he made a mistake in the bracha. Take him out, throw him out. Maybe he's a tzaddikim. Maybe he's a Sadducee, right? So people would fake being thing, and then they would come out and say, okay, is it Stukia? Maybe he unfortunately went off the Derech. There were examples the Gemara talks about, people who did. So, and this is at the time of the Anshei Knesset Abdullah, this was all happening. So he says, in the Sefer, Mavola Mishnah, V'nira Shotos Man Ayu Yoshvim B'Sanhedrin, Gamat Stukim V'Geirayim, in the Anshei Knesset Abdullah, in the Sanhedrin, were Stukim members also. And if you have the Tzukim on one hand, you'd think that everyone else is getting along and they'd have the majority. They did have the majority. The problem was, now we have three parties. We have the Tzukim on the one hand, and we don't have everyone else. We have what? Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel. And Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, they voted as a block. They decided how they were going to vote. Before they came to the vote, Beis Shammai, we're all going to vote this way. Beis Hillel is going to vote this way, and we have the Tzedukim also. We have three parties, and none of them had a majority. We may have the Sanhedrin, but we can't achieve a majority. And that was the problem, and that explains why even before the Sanhedrin system went away, unfortunately, even before, we had a breakdown and we had machlokas coming out even the time of Bayis Sheni. Okay, so that's number two. Reason number one, we had the writing of the Mishnah. Eventually we'll explain how it all ties in, is we have Baitos and Tzadok attacking Torah Shabbat Peh. We have Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, and we have breakdown of decision-making process in the Sanhedrin Adadol. Number three, after the Bayis Sheni, we're going chronologically, after the Bayis Sheni, Klali HaMitzvos, one of the Rishonim, says as follows, V'da ki ha'ikar sha'alav kasav Rebbe HaMishnah, the reason that Rebbe wrote his Mishnah, who al derech sha'isa malchus harisha, the Roman Empire, gozeres shmad, shelo yasku b'torah, they were made exera of shmad. Anyone who learns Torah will be killed, and you can't do mitzvahs, you can't have bris, whatever it was. There's no learning of Torah. Now that was after the destruction of the Bayis Sheni at the time of Rebbe Akiva. Rebbe Akiva is two generations before Rebbe Yehuda Anasi. Rebbe Akiva was alive at the time of the destruction of the temple, and Rebbe Akiva's students coming up to Lag BaOmer, Rebbe Shimon Bar Yochai, the Rashbi. So at the time of Rebbe Akiva and the Rashbi, there was a decree by the Romans that there can be no learning of Torah. So Reuven Margolius points out brilliantly, he said, maybe it's obvious, but he says, and look what happened right at that time, at the end of Rebbe Akiva's life. What was the political environment at that time? Right then, 132 after the Common Era to 136 after the Common Era, we have the rebellion of Bar Kokhba. Are the Romans happy or not happy? The Romans are really not happy. The Jews are rebelling. They are really irritated at us. They make a decree there is going to be no learning of Torah and Klal Yisrael. Anyone who does is going to be killed. And in fact, there's a Gemara in Baba Kama, says as follows, the Roman government said two officers to Klal, to Chachmei Yisrael, teach us the entire Torah. We want to see what's going on here. This is before the Torah Shebaal Peh was written. Teach us the whole Torah. So we see that the authorities, the Roman authorities, were very interested in the Masorah. What is going on with Klal Yisrael, and are they planning additional attacks against us? So this is reason number three for Rebbe writing the Mishnah. If we can imagine coming in right before, the generation before and two generations before Rebbe, there was a decree there would be no learning of Torah. That obviously had a major negative impact on the learning of Torah of Klal Yisrael. Yeshivas, no officials, yeshivas can be open, shut down, they had to do it in private. There was a big loss at this time of the Masorah that is coming into the generation of Rebbe. So that is number three. Number four, Rav Shri Ragon, I talked about his Igeret, he wrote a letter about the Torah Shebaal Peh, and in that letter, he writes as follows, Lohaya Echad, how was Torah Misina, how was the Masorah taught at that time? Lohaya Echad min Arishonim Shekasav Eze Davar Atzof Yamav Shel Rebbeinu HaKadosh. There was no one who wrote anything until the time of Rebbe. Everything was oral. The transmitted from Rebbe to student, to father, to student. V'chein lo ayu lomdim gam kulan pepe echa v'lashen echa. They didn't have one text, one nusach of learning the Torah Shebaal Peh. So each Rebbe had his style, had his format, had his way of teaching. And one Rebbe taught it in a long format. It's one time. They agreed on the substance, but the form of each Rebbe, each yeshiva was different, teaching in his own methodology, his own format, his own language. So Rebbe's looking around at his time. He's coming off of the decrees of the Romans, and he says, I'm a little bit concerned. V'kevan shera Rebbe sheyesh kolkach shinuyim b'mishnayas rabboseinu. Everyone in their mishnayas that they were learning, there were differences in the texts. Afal pisha tameim olim l'davarachet. Even though in substance it was the same, he was concerned, as time goes on, this is going to be a problem. The Masorah, it's like playing telephone. It's going to get worse. There's a degradation with the message as it goes on. And he already saw the degradation of the message. The message is the same, at least substance-wise, but it's a different nusach. V'shaktu. So what happened at the time of Rebbe? The decrees of the Roman government at the time of Rebbe went away. Why? Rebbe had a very good relationship with the Roman emperor. Shaisa Bain Antoninos for Rebbe. Antoninos was the Roman emperor. Rebbe and he had a very good dialogue between them. Things calmed down at that time, gave the ability for the yeshivas to open back up. And Rebbe says, we need to take a step to ensure the purity and sanctity of the Torah Shebaal Peh. And it's at that point that things quieted down, that Rebbe sees the opportunity he is based in to say, either we write down the Torah Shebaal Peh, or we will unfortunately be losing the Torah Shebaal Peh. So based on the Pasuk of Tehillim we talked about last time, he made the decision, they made the decision collectively, the Sanhedrin, that the Torah Shebaal Peh had to be written down.
Did he really believe Judaism would just end there?
You know, you have to remember, no, not that Judaism, but that we were losing the Torah Shebaal Peh. Not the end of Judaism. Losing, it would negatively be impacted, and he saw it was happening. We used to be at the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash is destroyed. Decree against learning. Harassment by the Romans. And he sees the decay of the learning. People can't even learn. And he saw Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel fighting. And he saw that the Talmidim weren't learning so well. The Masorah is breaking down. They had different Sfaras. They couldn't come to grips with each other. So his concerns were definitely founded in fact.
He thought that we would just be stuck with Chumash for the rest of the
world. No. He thought that we will lose the sanctity of the Masorah. Not that we're going to forget it all. But he saw that it was being negatively impacted. It says that it's degrading. It's like the telephone game, and it's getting worse and worse. Now the Maisa, yeah.
Is this why in the Gemara you would have like one, like the Amoraim held one thing, and then it'll say, oh, Savara, you know, say for another, you know, the rabbis, oh no, they held this. This is what they meant.
We do see the degradation there.
We're going to talk about more
the Gemara next time. You made it, Hashem. Okay, so just to pull this all together, the Maisa, they're not, yeah.
So when he was writing it down, did he preserve the degradation to bring out the good points?
Next time, Mir Tashem. Okay. That's what we're talking about next time, what he did. Yeah.
So basically, he explicitly wrote halacha, but he saw...
So the Gemara is based on the Gemara wasn't written yet, but it's based on a pasuk that says, Eis la'asol Hashem efeu torasech, in order to ensure that we don't lose the entire Torah Shebaal Peh, Gemara Gim tells us, we can abrogate one halacha in order to save the entire Torah Shebaal Peh. So it was based on that pasuk. Okay, now Lemaisa, there are a number of Rishonim that say that the real cause, we've gone through now four different causes chronological, first starting towards the beginning of the Bayis Sheni with the attack of Baitos and Sadok against the Torah Shebaal Peh, and then the breakdown of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel toward before the destruction, and even more so after the destruction of the Second Temple. Number three, reason for writing the Mishnah was because of the decrees of the Roman authorities during the time of Rebbe Akiva after the destruction of the Temple, and during the time of the Rashbi, as a result of the revolt of Bar Kokhba. And number four, Rebbe seeing the degradation of the learning of Mishnayos, of the degradation of the learning of Torah Shebaal Peh. Now, a number of the Rishonim say that the true overriding issue here was the political climate with the Romans. Because that was really the great cause for our inability to focus on our learning. So Rashi says as follows. This is Rashi in the Gemara in Baba Metzia, Lama Gimel, Lama Beis. Mishirabu Talmidei Shammai VeHillel. Shayu Lefana Shlosh Adoros. When Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel started their great machlokas, they were three generations before Rebbe. It started three generations before Rebbe. Rabu machlokas, but Torah Venasi Keshei Torahs. That's when there was a lot of machlokas. It came into looking at like two Torahs. Mitoch Ol Shibur Malchuyos Gzeira Shayu Goji Malayim. That was a result of the oppression of the Roman authorities and the gzeiras, the decrees that they made against Klal Yisrael. Rav Shiragon in his Ligera says the same thing. Kevin Shachara Beis HaMikdash V'achul Beisar. After the destruction of Beis HaMikdash, the Sanhedrin was sent into exile, various exiles. They were in Beisar. V'charva Gamken Beisar, and Beisar was destroyed. V'nipazru HaChachamim L'kol Tzad, and all the Chachamim were sent into all different places. Machmas Osam and Mahumas Vashmadim, because of all of these decrees against Klal Yisrael, Shayub Osazman, Loshimshu Atamidim Kol Tzarchan. That's why the students were not able to learn Beis Shammai, Beis Hillel. They couldn't focus on their learning. Vinisrabu Machlokas, that's when caused tremendous Machlokas. So we see Rashi and Rav Shiragon saying the overriding issue here was the decrees of the Roman authorities against Klal Yisrael and the learning. There's a Gemara that Gemara that we've mentioned, Misharabu Tamei Deshamei VeHilo Shulashim Shukol Tzarcha Rabu Machlokas Vishal. When Tamei Deshamei and Hilo, they didn't learn as was necessary. There was a lot of machlokas. Why didn't they learn? We're saying now because of the Roman authorities. Now the Rambam doesn't say it was because they didn't learn. He says because of the destruction of the Beis Din of the Sanhedrin Agadol. If you don't have that overriding Sanhedrin making decisions, that causes a lot of machlokas, causes a lot of fractures in Klal Yisrael. So Rav Reuven Margolyes says, Rambam, why are you saying that there was a lot of machlokas? Because of the Sanhedrin being exiled and the Sanhedrin being nullified, the Gemara says it's because Beis Shammai and Ben Hillel didn't learn as necessary. It's not because of the Sanhedrin. So the Rav Margolyes in his Yisora Mishnah Barichasa comes out as follows. He says, Mirosh acharei shebatal Beis Din Agadol, Rafta machlokas mi Beis Din la Beis Din. Initially, it doesn't mean that because the Sanhedrin was nullified, that the entire Beis Din system fell apart. Once the Sanhedrin was nullified, we still had Batei Din, regional Batei Din. But that caused what? You would have debates between this Beis Din and Beis Din, and you had no Sanhedrin in order to be machri, in order to decide between them. And then, because of Beis Shammai and Beis Hillel, even within each Beis Din, because there were so diametrically different views of halacha, and each Beis Medrash, that was the next step at putting the nail in the coffin that caused a tremendous amount of machlokas. And in Mirchus, and next week, we will take it up from then. We've gone through today the various reasons which caused Rebbe to feel the necessity to write the Mishnah. We've gone through the four reasons. The overriding reason is because of the Roman authorities and their decrees against Klal Yisrael and learning. And in Mirchus, next time, we'll talk in detail about what Rebbe did, his method for writing the Mishnah, Tosefta, not that Rebbe wrote it. Why was the Tosefta necessary? The Sifra, why was it necessary? And the writing of the Gemara. Quick questions, yeah?
If the reason why the way that Tzedokim got into the Beis Din doesn't matter anymore, but why would they want to get in since both of this Beis Din will say something in the Shem Shemayim and this Beis Din will say something in the Shem Shemayim? What would be the purpose?
Control.
Control of what?
Control. To bring Klal Yisrael to their methodologies. They wanted to usurp the Torah. They believed that we got to get rid of everyone's following the Torah Shabbat, but we got to get rid of it. You got to return the sanctity of the Torah Shabbat Chsav, and it's being thwarted and ruined by the Torah Shabbat.
Why did the system of Zukot start before they never had Zukot? What made them introduce Zukot?
Yeah, that's a good question. The answer is I don't know. I don't know what happened from Antigonus Yisocho, that there was that division. I don't know what happened. I have to look into that. Okay, other questions? Okay, guys, Mircha Hashem, we will continue next time, part 3 of the writing of the Tosha Baal Peh. Have a great week.
Thank you.